Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling. It's time for another Jukebox Jury. What will the judges make of the 2011 songs on offer today? Who will be the fans' Kate Ryan, the public's Jack Ryan, and the voting jury's Andy McNab? It's another Jukebox Jury. It's another batch of songs from the 2011 Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome once again. I'm Ewan Spence, and joining me, two judges from the world of Eurovision, determined to rate the next six songs as hit, miss, or maybe. And of course, you will violently disagree with them and leave your comments back at www.escinsight or on Twitter or on Facebook. That is the fun of Eurovision. But this is a mix of preview, a mix of critique, a mix of bitchiness, cattiness, disagreement with the other judges, tongues flying, and Ashley Cole with an air rifle. So be warned, okay? See, look, there's a football reference, and my judges are now going, who's Ashley Cole?
No, it's Cheryl's husband.
Is he still? I thought the paperwork had went through.
No, Ashley Cole, as far as I know, is now an ex-husband of Cheryl Cole.
Oh well, her loss.
So, judges already in fine fettle. On my left, a man no stranger to Jukebox Jury, and also no stranger to the podcast, having been our first winner of No Points, it's David Elder.
Hello, Ewan. Hello.
Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready for 2011.
Yay!
Yes.
Nice and simple. There we go. And on your left, I have a man who, basically, according to the Daily Mail, is the man who creates the black holes that will destroy the universe, or at least keeps the machine clean. Andrew Main from Edinburgh University. Hello, Andrew.
Hello there, Ewan.
Does the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva provide us any clues to who's going to win Eurovision this year?
None whatsoever.
What use is it, then?
Well, Switzerland and France host it, and therefore every year they hope that it will do something for the Eurovision song.
And it doesn't.
Absolutely not.
Well, the good news is we don't have Switzerland or France in this mix. We've had Switzerland on the previous Jukebox Jury last week, and France will be coming up in the Big Five later on. This week we have, let's see, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Greece, Belgium, Slovenia, Hungary, and Finland. Thanks to 43 songs, a prime number. There's some of these have five, some of them have six, and some of them have two. I can't remember how I've divided it up now. Let's start with Bosnia-Herzegovina. Love and Rewind sees the return of Dino Merlin to the stage at Eurovision. Just one, two, three songs of mine, 100 glories of mine, and all the loving rewind. Sinta! Oh, Sinta! Oh, Sinta! Oh, Sinta! Oh, 1 to 100. By two, it's less about me, it's less about you. It's nice and jolly, it starts very strongly, and what I love about this is Dino is singing a song that I think he believes in. Not because it's a song for Eurovision, just that it's a good song for him.
Absolutely, I think this is a great song. Every year there's always one of the Balkan countries that comes forward with something really, really strong. And I think this year it's Bosnia that kind of takes that mantle. I wasn't keen on his song in 99, so I was a bit kind of worried about what he's going to come up with for 2011. But this is a nice song. It's very simple. It's quite repetitive. It's catchy. It's memorable. I like the female singer that sings with him as well. And I think it's got an awful lot going for it. I think this is a really good song.
What I like, as I said, like about this is it starts really strongly. It does kind of peter off towards the end, but it does grab the audience straight away in the first, 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very instant, and I think that's really important when you've got 3 minutes to impress the juries and the voters at home. So I'm thinking this is going to do quite well.
Yeah, I totally agree with virtually everything David said. This song is extremely strong. Amongst all the Balkan countries, it's by far the strongest entry this year. And it's instantly memorable, instantly catchy, and it is just a really fun, pleasant song to listen to.
And there's also, when you look at how all the semi-finals break down, there's a good chance that this could be the only Balkan song in the final on Saturday. which hands it a very strong playing card.
Absolutely. If it's the only Balkan country in there, it's going to get 12 from Croatia, it's going to get 12 from Slovenia, it's going to get 12 from Macedonia. I mean, it could really sweep it. It could start the contest with about 70, 80 points before any other country's even started. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's in a really, really strong position.
I think the fact is that even if the likes of Serbia and Croatia qualify for the final, who I think are probably the next potential Balkan countries to get through, that they'll still get 12 points from every Balkan country and quite a lot of Eastern countries. And to be honest, I think the Western countries are going to find this really pleasant to the ear.
The other thing about Dino as well is that he's a huge star in the Balkans, and you know, he's really, really well known. He's an established act. He's been going for a long, long time. So, you know, there's a lot of people are going to recognise him as soon as he comes on the screen, and I think that's going to be in his favour.
It would be almost like if we sent Elton John from the United Kingdom.
Yeah, something like that, absolutely.
So, hit, miss, or maybe?
I think it's a hit.
That's an absolute hit for me.
And it's a hit as well for me. It's got the Eastern sensibility. It's going to appeal to the West. It's not threatening or scary in any way. People go, oh, it's a song contest. And they'll hear a good song. They'll see a performer that's comfortable in themselves to project the emotion for the lyrics and everything. I don't see why it wouldn't be a hit and why it wouldn't do very well in the contest come May.
I think one point I would quite like to make, though, is that the only performance we've seen of this so far isn't exactly brilliant. There's lots of kind of knees jerking and arms waving and things, and it's a bit of a dodgy performance, but I'm sure that's not how he's going to present it in Dusseldorf. I really hope it's not anyway, because I think it kind of detracts a bit from what's a great song.
Actually, yes, you're right. I think in all honesty, the performance we saw was presented in a special show in Bosnia that night, and I actually feel it was very done very tongue-in-cheek. It was having fun, having a laugh. They did mime the song, so we didn't actually hear it live, and they were exaggerating every movement from playing guitars to playing piano. It was fun, but I think they'll be a bit more serious and try and put it across better in Dusseldorf.
And let's not forget, this is from a country in an area that takes it very seriously. This wasn't a national final, this was an internal selection. So it's a case of, we know this is going through. And if they know it's a good song, well, why wouldn't they just dull the edges a little bit and don't show everything that they've got? Let's just try and upset the other countries, just keep the powder dry. All people need to know is it's Dino and here's the song.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I think they're kind of hiding their light under a bushel, aren't they? So we'll see how it comes in Dusseldorf.
So, let's move on thereafter, an incredibly strong opening for Heat 2 here of Jukebox Jury, to Greece, a country that perennially does well, but watch my dance. Lucas Grigoras featuring Stereo Mike. I mean, featuring Stereo Mike does make it sound like it's something out of here's Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse doing the greatest songs of the continent. But this, amazingly, is this year's Greece entry.
The language of my body, the sound my heart makes. So I'm staying alive, and my losses won't let my soul to surrender. The power of lost my bet. Watch my dance, head up high, hands like wings and I'll fly. Το κεφάλι ψηλά και τα χέρια ανοιχτά. Την έχει η ψυχή μου τη φωτιά. Τους φόβους όλους και.
How do you typify this song from Greece? All I can think of is contractual obligation. It's like, I'm sorry, you've got one record deal left before you can go to RCA, and you just pull out a really bad album just to get it over and done with. This just feels like Greece needed to put a song in just because.
Okay, with regard to Greece generally, I usually like their entries because over the last few years they've been quite poppy rather than quite Greek. And it's been a certain genre that has appealed to the kind of songs I go for. This year we've got this one from Greece and I think it's absolutely appalling. I
normally don't like rap music, and normally I don't like rap as part of a song that has other styles in it. And although I find the Greek part of the song, as I could call it, okay, the overall thing is a complete mess.
Well, I think we're back to Ashley Cole and Cheryl Cole again. This is a marriage that just doesn't work, I'm afraid. You know, we've got the rap part, we've got the very ethnic-y Greek chorus, which in itself actually isn't that bad. And I think if they'd just, you know, focused on that and left Stereo Mike to, you know, do whatever Stereo Mike does elsewhere, that would be fine. But unfortunately, no, they tried to make this marriage, and I just really don't think it works. I think it's awkward.
And the Greek part just kind of tends towards a sort of Hammer Horror gothicness in the background. And, you know, Hammer Horror is an acquired taste, and it takes great skill and panache, you know, to pull it off. It's no wonder that Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, were some of our finest actors and could work with the scripts that Hammer Horror have. And in, with the best will in the world, Lucas Gregoras is not a Christopher Lee, and or neither is he a Peter Cushing. He really is like Reg Varney from On the Buses, and that's not what you want in a Hammer Horror film. This just reminds me of Waldo's People, the one from Finland a couple of years back, which was great in the studio when they had all the mixing machines and the tech and everything, but when they were asked to do it live, it just turned into a shouty mess.
When I was listening back to the Greek song there, the two separate parts reminded me of something else from the past which really, really worked in this contest, and that was actually Nocturne from Norway, because it had very Celtic sounding music combined with a very basic small amount of singing. And when I was listening to the Greek song, I thought, we've got the rap, which is rap, and we've got the Greek sounding chorus coming along, but it just didn't have the same blend as something like Nocturne, which meant that it's just not going to work.
It's like cornflakes and Iron Brew. They just don't go together, much as you might like to try. Okay, but again, it's Greece, and you know, Greece are still going to be there or thereabouts. Now, you see, this is where it is. David, there's going to be a strong contingent that will vote for this song anyway. Is that enough to lift the song up from miss?
I know what you're saying, Ewan. And yes, there will be diaspora all around Europe who are going to vote for Greece regardless. But, I mean, I don't know any Greek people who actually like this song. I was speaking to a Greek guy when I was in Sweden recently, and he said, we're so ashamed of our song this year, it's terrible. So, you know, maybe some of the diaspora are going to think, actually, do you know what, I might vote for Cyprus instead this year.
And the Cypriot song is much more like a traditional Greek song in the 21st century at Eurovision.
Absolutely. So I think we could be on the cusp of Greece actually not qualifying for the first time, and that's going to be a big shocker to them.
So, hit, miss, or maybe?
I think it's a big miss for me, I'm afraid.
And it's a miss for me as well.
And it's going to be a miss for me as well. It's got some great elements. They just don't work together. And, you know, part of me can still see it kind of scraping through into the final. But if it didn't make it, it would be surprising but not shocking.
No, absolutely, I agree.
So, from a song that has possibly too much instrumentation on it to a song which has absolutely no instrumentation on it. The song that probably is the only song this year that doesn't actually need a backing track. They could probably do the entire thing live if they really felt like it. This is Wycliffe Bay, who, from their fans, raised £20,000 as the entry fee for PR for Belgium, singing Baby With Love. You gotta do it with love.
Come on and sing it, swing it with love.
Feel it in your body, your soul, in your mind, when you move, when you groove with love.
Yes, I had to sing it and I came to bring it to you with love, baby.
There we go. A little bit of a cappella action at Eurovision, which I think we've only seen once or twice before, David.
Yeah, the Latvian song a few years ago, I can't even remember what they're called. They had that little puppet on stage with them. That was a cappella.
The thing about a cappella is it's such a specialist skill. And not just in making the noise and the lyrics, but you need to really push the personality of the performers through. I mean, the ones that I remember is The Magnets, who are an a cappella band who toured the UK and Europe. They do very well. But they have an hour-long show, and it takes about 20 or 25 minutes just to feel comfortable with the personalities of the guys on stage, that you can sit back and listen to them create the music. It takes a long time to create that emotional bond. They've got 3 minutes, and, you know, they're great people, but it's... A cappella is hard to pull off in a concert. It's going to be even harder to pull off when you've only got 3 minutes. And again, you've got a commentator who will be introducing it. He's got 30 seconds. They may not necessarily warm the audience up in the best way. Technically, it's impressive as a song. Technically, it's hard. I think Belgium and Wittloof Bay have just bitten off a little bit more than they can chew.
Yeah, Ewan, I tend to agree with that. It's regarding a cappella, it's very much in the same bag for me personally as rap music, in that I generally detest it. But with regard to this song, as artists and as a group, I think they're very accomplished. I think they're really good singers. They do seem to gel really, really well together. But I do think they've also bitten off more than they can chew. I think this song will just die in the semi-final.
Yeah, I mean, I take on board what you're saying, Ewan, about a cappella being quite difficult. But I think it's even more difficult when there is no tune for the group to sing to, which I think is the case that we have here. This, in my mind, is perhaps the most abhorrent Eurovision song I've heard for 15 years or maybe more. I think there is not one single redeeming feature about this, and I use the word tune advisedly.
That's quite bitter when you consider they got through a national final. They got through two, actually, because there was a radio one and there was a public one. They had, you know, Belgium, this interesting thing where they asked people to basically put up a bond of money to show that they had backing and everything. And they won the vote in Belgium. It's not as if Belgium went, you know what, we're going to send the worst song possible. You know, this isn't RTE here.
Not only did they win the public vote in Belgium, but there was a jury vote as well, and they won both. And we often see this in national finals, that when a song can manage to win both public and jury, then there must have some redeeming features about it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I don't know. I think maybe the Belgians were having a bit of a joke, thinking, yes, let's actually pick the worst Eurovision song in living memory and send that forward.
How can an entire country who don't collude, who can't even decide on a person who's going to run their country without having months of debate, suddenly go, you know what would be a great idea? Let's send this a cappella band and sound Polish to the Eurovision.
I know. I don't understand that either, Ewan, but that's what's happened.
I think someone is letting their own emotion getting in the way of their judging there. So hit, miss, or maybe. I'll go first on this. I'm going to put this one down as a maybe. Much as I think it's a hard song to pull off, if they can get the presentation on this, if they can get over their spirit, now, whether that be in costume or attitude or moving around the stage, they can actually put on a good show with this song. And it will stand out because it's a cappella, but it needs to be a cappella done well. I can't see it winning. I can't honestly see it doing incredibly well, but I can see it being quite strong, and if everything lines up, it's just gonna, and it just works, there's a chance that it can. So that's why I'm going to give it a maybe. It's very tentative, I will say that, but it is a maybe.
Okay, much the same reasons as yourself. My decision's also very, very tentative, because I can see them actually doing a really good job on this and pulling it off. To the point, it is different. There's nothing else like it in the competition. But because I loathe a cappella, I have to really just give it a miss, although it might just be in the running for qualifying.
Thank goodness there's nothing else like this in the competition. On a scale from 1 to 10, this would be probably about 15 for me as a miss. It's vile.
So there we go. Isn't it nice when you have judges that don't actually agree? A majority decision there puts it as a miss, although I will still stand up for them and say, you know what, at least they went forward, gave it a go, and they're not ritzy. Let's move on to song number 4 in the halfway mark. As always, you can leave your comments and your thoughts on all of these songs and more back at the website, www.escinsight.com. You can find us in iTunes to leave a review yourself of the Jukebox Jury. And, of course, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places as well. Right, Slovenia finally bringing something vanilla into the delights of the Eurovision Song Contest. We have Magic Yuk and Vanilla. The perils of recording these in advance is, of course, I've just been told it's been announced that this is now going to be done in English, so it's now being called...
We think it's something like One Day, but we're not 100% sure.
So there we go. But at the same time, it's still dramatic, it's uplifting, but it doesn't go anywhere. It's just like, 3 minutes are over.
I disagree slightly with you. It starts very, very slowly. It's not a fast song, let's face it. But
slow can still be dramatic.
Absolutely. There are some really dramatic ballads and slow songs and have been in Eurovision in the past that have done really, really well. Not necessarily won the competition, but done really well. This one starts really slowly, and I think its only redeeming feature for me is that towards the 2 minute mark onwards, it really does build quite well.
Yeah, I agree with Andrew. I actually think this is hugely dramatic. I think Maya's got a fantastic voice. And at the beginning of the song, you kind of think, oh, this is going to be a bit dirgy. It's not going anywhere. And then it starts to build, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds. So it comes to a fantastic crescendo in the last kind of minute. And I think it's, you know, I think from that point of view, it's really, really good. So
it's one of these songs where it's not going to be the strength of the song that determines how well it does. It's going to be what's around it. I mean, if this is anywhere close to France in the final, then they're just going to cancel each other out with France's great big cod opera thing. But, you know, if they're, you know, for want of a better word, if they've got Ireland just before them in the final, then this song is really going to go, wow, that's singing. You know, actually, whoever comes after Ireland is probably going to get a, wow, that's singing.
Absolutely, because as I say, I mean, I think she's got a fantastic voice. She's got a great range. And, you know, that last note in the song where she just sort of carries it on past the end of the music, it's really, really strong. So, yeah, I mean, I think she's in with a... I don't think she's going to win, but I think she's going to do reasonably well and hopefully see Slovenia qualify for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, I tend to agree with most of what's been said. It's not in my pile of songs for the semi-final as a definite qualifier, because I think it's such a level playing field this year. So many songs in the running to certainly get through to the final. But, I wouldn't be in the slightest bit surprised to see this qualify and finish in a respectable position in the final if it gets a good draw.
Hit miss or maybe then, Andrew?
Based on what I've just said, it's not an absolute definite for me, so I'd have to give it a maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'll go maybe as well, but I really like this song.
It's a maybe again for me as well, which is nice and neutral all the way over. It does build, it might build up a little bit too slowly. For me, you know, it has promise at the start. The first 30 seconds, we're in for a good 3 minutes here, and then the kind of middle bit just kind of loses its way, and there's a danger that's the point where a lot of people will go and make a cup of tea, which is a shame because they'll miss the end of it. So it also really depends tightly on the draw. There are some songs that you could put in the draw anywhere that would just stand up no matter what's around them. This needs to have a lucky draw.
It's true. It's always the case for any song in this competition that if you don't catch the audience in the first minute and a half in some shape or form, that they're likely to go to the toilet or make a cup of tea. And it doesn't matter how strong your last 30 seconds is, you're going to lose people.
That's why, we just, you know, go back very briefly, that's why I think Dino Merlin's song is actually really good this year, because that first 10, 15 seconds is bang. You want to know what's happening rather than, oh, what will happen? It's like, I need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the problem with this song. As you say, I mean, it's you've got 3 minutes and you really need to grab the juries and the folk at home within the first minute of that song. I don't know that this really does, but it's still a great song.
So let's move on. Two more songs to go in this one, just to make the numbers up. Finland will be coming up last, but before then, let's have a listen to Hungary. I think this is going to be a great big favourite on the dance floor, but what will it do over the voting lines in Europe remains to be seen. It also remains to be seen what our judges think about Katie Wolff's What About My Dreams from Hungary.
What about?
If you want Dark Horse, there's your Dark Horse. Because although the fans are talking about it and putting it up through votes and polls and everything, when you go to somebody in the street and go, well, certainly, it's actually somebody in Austin actually said, so Ewan, who's going to win Eurovision this year? You know, if you say Hungary to them, they're going to go, Hungary? But there's something traditional about this song. It's got that modern flavour that Eurovision's starting to take on thanks to Alexander Rybak and Lena last year. This wouldn't sound out of place in the charts nowadays. But I can't get over the fact that, well, you know, it's Hungary, but at the same time, Germany won last year. And if you'd said, you know, oh, Germany will win, you're looking at the lay of the land in Europe, you'd have went, no.
Well, I think you're right, Ewan, and I think the similarity between Germany last year and Hungary this year is that it's a simple pop song performed really well by a really good vocalist. You know, I think Katie Wolff's song is instant. I think she's very, you know, she's very attractive, she's very personable. I think her performance will come across well on stage, and I think it's just a fantastic song, and I think, you know, that's really what we're looking for in Eurovision, isn't it? So I think this is going to do very well.
Yeah, as far as this song is concerned, it's instant and it's very memorable, and it's, to me, it's a classic pop song because it ticks all the right boxes for the kind of song that you're going to see doing really well in most charts in Europe. It's going to do really well on the dance floor in most clubs in Europe. And when it comes to Eurovision, when we're watching on a Saturday night, or when people at home are watching on a Saturday night, if the stage performance and the vocal performance comes off, then this is going to get lots of votes. Now, my initial reaction was, this will do really well. This should do really well. But like you, it's Hungary.
It's a tough one because much as us fans go, oh, it's not about politics, there are biases in Europe. David's going, oh, I've got a bias. I want to talk about a bias.
No, I mean, I know where you're going with this conversation, but that's the point I was making about Germany earlier, because I don't think Germany has a lot of political friends in Europe. And that was the thing I said to folk when he came back from Eurovision last year. Everyone said, ooh, Eurovision, it's very political, very political. Germany doesn't have a lot of fans, and yet they scored bucket loads simply by having a good, catchy, modern pop song. And I don't see why this is Hungary. I don't see why it can't be Hungary's year to do exactly the same thing again.
And it is such an open field, it is such a competitive field. It's interesting that even though we've agreed that the Greek song this year is really bad, it's really hard to find consensus among the fans. The polls, as Andrew was saying before, you know, there's four or five, even amongst the fans, that are neck and neck right up there at the top. You know, the bookies are having, I mean, and people look at odds in the bookies, remember, that's people putting money down. It's not an expert at Betfred going, oh, I know everything. It's just where people think is going to do well. And, you know, there's like four or five countries that are under the 3-1 mark. That's really, really, there's nobody running away with it here.
Last year, I remember when Lena's song first got picked, that my initial reaction was, Germany, what on earth are you doing? And I had that feeling for
quite a few weeks, and last year there was a Eurovision party down in London, and there was various artists were performing, including the UK artist Josh Dubovey, and while we were waiting for a lot of the artists to come on, they were of course playing all the latest Eurovision music that we were going to be hearing in Oslo, and Lena's song came on. The DJ put it on, and the dance floor just went completely and utterly crazy. And it was at that instance I suddenly thought, oh my God, this is a damn good song. This could do really well. And this is what I think about Hungary. It's got the potential to do the same thing.
So, hit, miss, or maybe. And I'm going to judge this just on the song. I'm going to put the politics aside and the maths tables and the diaspora voting and everything, because even though there is diaspora, the best song still wins every year. You know, I will argue that point to the death. And I have my tables that back that up from a long-term listening and polling as well. So I am going to give Hungary a hit. And it's like you, Andrew. Should do well. So should be a hit.
Absolutely, it should be a hit. There's a lot of people have been saying it's one of these songs that everybody's expecting to qualify with ease to the final, with the potential to win the final, but could crash and burn in the semi. But in all honesty, I think that the singer and the performance can pull it off big style, and I can see this doing really well. So it's a hit for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a hit for me as well. I think the only possible fly in the ointment is that Katie, I understand, is going to sing part of the song in Hungarian, and that might sound a little strange to some of the continental ears listening in, and they might kind of think, oh, that sounds a bit harsh or whatever. But no, it's still a great pop song, so it's got to be a hit.
So there we go, a hit across the board, matching Dino Merlin's Live and Rewind at the top of the table. One country to go. All they can do is equal our top runners so far. So what can Paradise Oscar pull out? A somewhat surprising winner in the Finnish national final with Dada Dam. It's a lovely story about a boy with lofty ideals wanting to change the world.
Peter is young. He tries to talk, but no one listens to him. Everybody's busy living and dying, not thinking about what they're doing. But look at the boy who went out in the world to save our planet. And he ain't coming back until she's saved. He walked his way to see the king in parliament. But they all turned their
If only grannies were voting at Eurovision, this would have it made.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Ewan. There's a real charm about this song. I have to admit, the first time I heard it, I kind of thought, oh, yuck, Finland, what have you done? What have you picked? It's not very nice. But on a second listen, I thought, actually, this is a really nice song. And it's bringing forward a really important message as well. It's all about kind of global warming and saving the planet and all the rest of it.
And it's the fact that one person can save the planet.
Yeah, actually, one young, at the start of the song, is a young child who wants to make this stand about what he's going to do to save his planet. And I think, you know, it's something that if people understand what he's singing about, not everybody speaks English, but if people around Europe understand what he's singing about, just the simple message of this, it could become like the 2000s version of Nicole, so...
And, you know, it's the boy with the guitar, much like Tom Dice did last year, but this year it's a bit more of the backing instruments. He's got a song behind it, which means, you know, it's not just boy meets girl, boy loses girl, girl runs off with Ashley Cole. It's an actual song. And yes, it is sweet and cloying and a little bit saccharine taste, but I think, you know, Finnish sentiment, even overemphasizing that in Finnish, will just make it feel at about the right level for the rest of Europe, given the Finnish reticence.
Yeah, yeah, I tend to agree with some of the things you've been saying. For me, it is a very pleasant song to listen to. It has a very important, strong message in the lyric, which will appeal, as David said, to quite a lot of people back home, apart from the pleasant
sound in their ears when they're listening to the song. It's following a formula as well that seems to have done reasonably well in Eurovision, not necessarily winning, in that it has somebody singing a very pleasant song, playing the guitar. We know they're not playing the guitar, but that's the feel that we have that comes across on the screen. Tom Dice did it last year. There's been other instances of it as well. And to me, it's going to be the song that people might not everybody will like it, but I think enough of the granny population interspersed with regular punters are going to vote for this, to the point that I think it might well qualify for the final. It's not a winner for me, but I think it might do okay.
I think it'll actually easily qualify for the final. I think the analogy about it being like Tom Dice last year is a good one, but I think it's a much stronger song. It's a much better performance than Tom Dice, not to take anything away from Tom, but I think the audience are going to really, really get behind this guy, and I think this could be a real dark horse in my mind.
Ain't Finland need a banker of a song? They've had a couple of poor years previously, so for them to get out the semi-finals, I think they would be quite pleased with that. Their national final process is starting to feel a little bit tired, and there was worries that Stalo was going to come through or any of the other sort of rock ones. But, you know, I like this. He's not the most stunning of personalities on screen. I mean, he just screams, "I want to sing at Eurovision." Even if you walked past him in the streets, like, you, my son, one day are either going to save the planet or get lots of sevens and eights from around Europe. You're not going to get any tens or twelves. You're not that good, but you're going to have a nice, strong showing. So for me, this is a maybe.
Yeah, for me too, it's a maybe, because I think it's... got a great chance of qualifying for the final, totally based on the live performance on the night, but it could also maybe just fail to get through. Just totally depends on the live performance.
Well, I think it's charming, and I think it's a hit.
Oh, so there we go. There is our six for today. Jukebox Jury, looking at the 2011 songs from Eurovision Song Contest for ESC Insight. In last place, Watch Them Dance from Greece with a miss, miss, miss. So pretty clear on that one. Belgium stumbles ahead in the line very slightly. Wyclef Bey's Baby with Love. Coming up in fourth, Slovenia's Vanilla from Maya Kirk. Third place. Now, let's see, what do we have? Third place is Paradise Oscar from Finland, who we've just heard. And tying for first place, we have Kenny Wolf from Hungary and Dino Merlin from Bosnia and Herzegovina. Can we split those two? Dave is saying, yes, we can.
It's got to be Katie Wolf.
For me, based on performance and based on fun factor, I'd go for Dino Merlin.
See, I'm going to go for Katie. I'm going to go for Katie because it's a much more modern song. It's 21st century. Andrew's deliberately, you know, I'm not going to make my mind up. I'm going to make my mind up. I'd already decided here, by the way. This song is, I think Eurovision is at this point, it happens every 10 or 12 years, it just reinvents itself. And it's reinventing itself into chart music, into modern music. It is reaching now much more into a younger age group. And much as Dino has a great song and really believes in it, let's be honest, he's a little bit older. He might not have the appeal. I think Katie is going to have a much wider appeal across Europe. So if I had to split the song, Katie goes first, Dino goes second.
That's a very fair result. I have to agree.
Just because you didn't have to make your mind up.
No, I must admit, I was on the fence a little bit, because I do love both songs equally well for different reasons. And I would love to see both of them win the contest overall. But if I'm in a club, I'm going to be dancing to Katie.
Yeah, and I equally love the Bosnian song. But and you know, let's face it, Bosnia's been in it longer than Hungary, so they perhaps deserve it more. But no, I just think...
Tell that to Portugal.
I know. God bless them. But no, I just think in this particular selection of songs, Hungary's the standout for me.
So there we go. That's your jukebox jury for the 2011 shows for today. Comments is always welcome back at escinsight.com. We will be back here on Tuesday with the weekly news, and next Friday with two more judges, five or six or however many more the maths needs songs to actually work out, so we can preview all 43 songs before we head over to Dusseldorf. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Ewan Spence. Andrew, here's a very easy decision for you. What happens now?
The electric guitars.